Hi, I'm Kelly Corrigan. You've probably never heard of me. Maybe you did. I wrote some New York Times bestsellers. I gave a TED Talk. But the reason I'm in your ear now is to invite you to listen to Kelly Corrigan Wonders. We talk to everyone from Bono to Amy Schumer, Spike Lee to Rainn Wilson, Krista Tippett and Bryan Stevenson about purpose, creativity, well-being, and what makes life worth living. Follow and listen to Kelly Corrigan Wonders on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
That is exactly what I needed to hear.
Thank God someone here knows what they're talking about.
That's us. That's right. Gotta love this American ride.
All right, you need to take the time and get the full picture.
I love the ladies. I mean, they rev my engine, but they don't belong in the newsroom.
It is anchor man, not anchor lady.
What do you want from me? I'm not a married sweetheart.
For goodness sake, kid, keep your voice down. Your father's listening to the radio.
I'm not a married sweetheart.
This is the Annie Fry Show.
This is not a terrorist event. What it is right now is there improvised explosive devices that was found. And we are working on confirming if this is a viable device or not.
Yeah, that's a member of the actual FBI telling us that. Just listen to it again and think, oh, that's the FBI.
This is not a terrorist event. What it is right now is there improvised explosive devices that was found. And we are working on confirming if this is a viable device or not.
That sounds like my friend's son's girlfriend just giving us a briefing there. This is not a terrorist attack. This is the Annie Fry Show, but it's the Manny Fry Show today. Annie will be back on Monday. Ryan and Brad with you. Yeah, we're going to talk a little bit about this because if you were not paying attention at all, this might have jerked you back into paying attention to the news like it did me yesterday. Mm-hmm. I get some interesting takes on a couple of these things. So we'll give you the full report, of course. But if you've been paying attention, you already know the facts. And we'll give you a little bit more than just that here in this segment. Hans von Spakovsky coming up next, too. He's going to talk about our YouTube live chat poll today, which is, should Mike Johnson remain the Speaker of the House? That's going to be big news tomorrow. We'll, of course, be carrying that as it happens because there's going to be a vote to either confirm or deny Mike Johnson another term as Speaker of the House. So we'll follow that. That's today's poll question. Participate that on that with us and Hans von Spakovsky coming up next here on the Annie Fry Show. But before we get there and dive into the facts and the different takes on these terrorist attacks, Brad, were you plugged in over the time you were off? Was this the first time you went, oh, okay, we got news now?
I mean, I would scroll Twitter every now and then, but I wasn't plugged in. So stuff like, oh, the speaker fight, oh, you know, some of these other things that were going on. But really, that terrorist attack pulled me back in. As a matter of fact, I was more using Twitter for commenting on the college football playoff than I was anything. So my algorithm started to change and give me more football content. But this broke through.
Yeah, this did. And this was yesterday evening is when I first heard about it because I had been completely disengaged for not just Christmas, but I was here the day after Christmas. But we were doing a best of for the most part. We were hosting, but it was kind of like playing a clip show. And so since then, I've been out of it. And so yesterday afternoon, sitting on the couch, it rarely ever happens, as you know, Brad. When I first started on the Annie Fry Show, I did not realize how fast the hosts of these shows, Mark Cox, Mark Reardon, Annie Fry, how fast you get news because you are just in it all the time.
Yes.
You don't unplug, you go to sleep, and then sometimes you wake up and immediately start looking at news again.
Like
you don't stop. And you know that from being a producer.
Yeah.
But when I was new to 97.1, I would do things like send Annie a story, say, hey, have you seen this yet? And she'd be like, I saw that 4 days ago, you know? Or it would be brand new, and she'd say, I saw it 4 hours ago. I could never keep up with the hosts. So my wife has had, my learning curve has been that now I'm that way. You know, when we're moving, we always got to know what's going on and be able to comment on it. And I'm not necessarily the lead, but I'm here to comment and share my opinions on everything. So we got to be plugged in. So last night when my wife said that, she was like, I know that you've probably already seen this. It was one of the rare times I said, no, tell me what's going on. The terrorist attacks were kind of a big deal. I mean, this is not just because they're random. You put yourself in these situations, you know, whether you're in New Orleans. And that for me was very close because she, my wife, lived in New Orleans for several years.
My wife actually had gone to a couple conferences down there for her job, so she's familiar with it. I've never been, but...
So when they describe these places, as opposed to Las Vegas, those hit closer to home for me because I've been there, and she very much has been there. Now, these are famous places, too. It's not as if nobody's ever heard of the French Quarter in Louisiana. But, you know, the quick report here, if you're just tuning in, you're like, hey, I have been unplugged. A suspect plowed a truck through a crowd on Bourbon Street early Wednesday morning. So this would have been in the aftermath of New Year's. Mm-hmm. People are still celebrating. It was about 3:30 in the morning, I think, something like that. So this is and when you're in New Orleans, that party is probably going till sunup.
Just doesn't stop.
Yeah. He is now, at the time of this report, it says 10 were killed. Now it says 15, and they're waiting on one more, possibly 16 killed in this one terrorist attack. I mean, this is a pretty big terrorist attack. Injured 35. The FBI released a statement midday that this guy, whose name is Shamsuddin Jabbar, is a citizen from Texas. And they confirmed he was carrying an ISIS flag in the truck. And authorities have said that he was dressed in military gear. The FBI said they also found weapons and a potential IED that were located in the vehicle. But then, of course, the FBI came out and said this.
This is not a terrorist event. What it is right now is there improvised explosive devices that was found. And we are working on confirming if this is a viable device or not.
Now, I think this is at the same press conference.
Yes.
The New Orleans police chief, Ann Kirkpatrick, steps in. Now, that's the federal, that's right. FBI saying that.
And I remember watching this press conference. She came on immediately after the FBI.
This police chief?
Yes.
Ann Kirkpatrick comes on right afterward. I love this. This is so great that she did this. And she goes, hang on, let me give a statement.
And as we know, this is not just an act of terrorism. This is evil. And when we face evil, we have a choice. We can run in fear, or we can indeed stand in strength. In a time of crisis, people are looking for leadership. You are looking at the leadership. And I promise you, as the chief of police of this city has been tried by fire before. But fire purifies. Fire makes things stronger.
So glad she stepped up and said that right after these bumbling idiots at the top level. And I'm not talking about your local FBI agent. I'm talking about these woke people who are like, this is not a terrorist attack. Immediately after a guy drives a truck and kills 15 people, 35 injured, he gets out of the truck. Is immediately shot by these heroic police officers. And I've heard a lot of people, before I put a finer point on this thing, I've heard a lot of people criticizing the police response to this thing. I can't believe that people are criticizing the police response to this thing, saying they should have been more ready. This is a very busy event. That you know that it's a high target zone. Man, I don't want to live in the America where everything you ever do is considered, well, you got to be more safe. You know, you can't walk on the sidewalk there because somebody could drive up and kill you. There's no way to protect against all that stuff.
The one big criticism that I heard, and I don't know all the details on this, but I saw people criticizing the city of New Orleans for not having their hydraulic vehicle barriers up. So apparently on this street, there are barriers, and I've seen these because whenever you go on a military base, they have these as well. It's basically a button, and this barrier comes up, and you can't drive through it.
Yep. They weren't working.
So that's what happened. But the barriers weren't up to prevent this car from driving down that street.
It's tough. It's always hindsight, right?
Yeah.
I don't love that we live in a city right now where I can't drive down half the streets because they have concrete barricades on half of them, or they got those giant flower pots that you can't get through. And that's to stop crime. Like, they, I get that why they do it. I just don't like that we have to do it. And, you know, we got to balance, you know, this is a much bigger point here, but we got to balance between, are we going to be in a free society or are we going to be in a safe society? Because a free society, there are going to be vulnerabilities.
Yes.
And the thing is, no matter how safe you decide to be, you're still going to have vulnerabilities. So criticizing the police to me on this is crazy.
Yeah.
And this is not just mainstream media. It's not just like Barstool talk. This is, I've heard right-wing pundits saying, like, well, the police really dropped the ball, mainly because of the issue you just brought up. But that's more politics. This is, if they were broken especially, that's because they're underfunded. I heard Kilmeade saying, this is a police department that has not been funded well for years.
Well, and I don't even know that that's a police department issue. That is a city of New Orleans issue.
Exactly. That's the politics. That's what I mean, is the funding of the police department, same thing we're dealing with here, is not what it should be, because they don't value what they should value in the cities, the politicians in these places. Now, before we move on, have you been to New Orleans ever?
I have not.
So Bourbon Street is such a well-known street that I think a lot of people can picture themselves there. And that's why this one hits kind of close to home, is because you go, man, a lot of people I know, I personally have been there. New Orleans is such a strange city, because if you're in the French Quarter, it does feel like it is a nonstop party. I've never been there during a holiday like that. I was there for Thanksgiving once and Black Friday. But even those, I mean, those aren't big party holidays.
Right.
But even then, there were just people walking around playing instruments. Like, these aren't paid musicians. These are just these are just people, and they'll start a parade. And people will just get in a parade, and there'll be people walking with horns, playing tubas, and just having a great time. Everybody's walking around holding the margarita. It's a fun place to be. It's also a strange place, because I've never seen anything like that. And it happens, I would say, almost every day in the French Quarter. There's just a parade that starts for no reason. It's not planned. It just happens. So there's all this like activity always going on. Clearly, it's a target. This guy's from Texas. He drives to New Orleans on New Year's Eve to make a point by driving and killing as many people in a popular area as he can. Now, that's the New Orleans one. The Las Vegas one is a bomber blew up a Tesla Cybertruck outside the Trump International Hotel in Las Vegas. He's been identified as Army service member Matthew Livelsberger. He was 37, identified by law enforcement sources as the bomber in the attack on Wednesday that left 7 wounded. This was right after the other one. So this was not at like at the exact same time, but a few hours later than this attack happens. And it seems to be making a point, whereas the first one was clearly intentional. This one, the guy's in a Tesla Elon Musk-owned Cybertruck.
Yeah, the Cybertruck is kind of almost the flagship. It's the most recognizable thing.
Yeah.
Like, if you think Cybertruck, you think Elon Musk, you can't really separate those two.
Exactly, exactly. And he parks outside of a Trump Tower and detonates these bombs. He's the only one who's killed. Now, there were a few injured. I think it's 7 injured. But he killed himself to, I guess, make a point that he doesn't like Elon Musk and Donald Trump. I mean, what other point is he trying to make here? I'm not sure, but he just suicided himself for the sake of symbolism, and nobody really knows what your point was other than you don't like the politics of these guys. I don't know, but it's a strange couple of events that happened just hours apart.
Yeah, just back and forth, and we don't... That investigation is still ongoing, and they're not really sure what the motivations are. There's reports that he was stationed at the same base as the other guy, but there's still no direct links, hard links made that they've at least released.
Yeah, and that's what's been very strange, because in this same report that I'm reading here about the Las Vegas terror attack, which is what it looks like, it says the FBI has said it does not think that Jabbar in New Orleans was solely responsible for the Bourbon Street attack. Authorities are conducting a number of court-authorized search warrants in New Orleans and other states investigating his potential associations and affiliations with other actors. then right afterward, and this was just this morning, right after that, and then right before this show, again, we're following the news very closely. New Orleans terror attack. Now the FBI confirms that Shamsuddin Jabbar did act alone already. So they're already flipping on their own reports that they were, well, we're looking into it. Now we found out he's acting alone. So I guess they're not connecting these two things at all, which seems really early. Why would you issue that statement now? It's been a day.
It's the same way as that first clip you played where she comes out, that lady comes out and says, this isn't a terror attack.
Yeah.
Now, I don't know if you saw any pictures of it. The flag wasn't just in the truck.
The ISIS flag.
Right. It was flying from the truck.
Oh, he's making a point.
Yes.
Both of them are making points. To just go, well, these aren't terrorist attacks. You're an idiot. And you're trying to deceive people, yeah. Or you're letting your own judgment cloud your work.
You know, and I know people are like, well, they're just following protocol, trying to be that. And it's like, if you're following protocol, you're not saying these aren't terrorist attacks.
Exactly.
You're saying we don't know the motivation yet.
Yes.
You're leaving the door open to that. But whenever you come out and you say these are not terrorist attacks, what you're doing is you're closing the door to that possibility. And then you have to walk that back. And that just ruins your credibility, especially if you're an organization like the FBI where you need that credibility. Because how much confidence do you have right now? If the FBI comes out and says something, do you feel like, okay, they've got this under control?
Thank you for saying that. We're 20 days away from me having more confidence in the FBI because they've lost it. They keep doing crap like this. And maybe this is just some rant. Maybe if you're at the FBI, you go, oh, why is Susie out there? Susie shouldn't have said that, you know? Maybe that happens. I'm sure it does.
Yeah.
I'm not saying that's impossible. But this is not just random person in New Orleans, this report I just read. This is the FBI confirms the New Orleans terror attack. Shamsuddin Jabbar acted alone. This is an official statement. So that's not just random person. This is FBI saying this. That's ridiculous. Let me just real quick, because we got to get to Hans von Spakovsky here, summarize it's just a coincidence. These two things are independent of each other. They were two vehicle attacks on the same day, within hours each other, on New Year's Day. Both vehicles were rented via this Turo. I don't know if you've ever heard of them. I can go into that later because I have used Turo. But it's not a common rental company. And they both use that one. Both suspects are U.S. veterans who happened to serve at the same military base. And Kilmeade confirms they were in the same unit. What they haven't confirmed is whether they were in the same unit at the same time. Mm-hmm. But all of those things, if you say, no, they're not connected, those are such incredible coincidences that you'd be almost crazy to not believe that they're connected. That's too much.
At the very least, you have to say, we have to look into this to investigate to see if there is possibly a connection.
Thank you. Because the FBI right now is saying, nah. Not connected. Well, they're not even saying they're terrorist attacks.
Right.
Anyway, this is the Annie Fry Show. Annie will be back on Monday. We're going to talk to Hans von Spakovsky next about this YouTube live chat poll. Should Mike Johnson remain the Speaker of the House? That's big news that'll be happening tomorrow. But, of course, we're following the ins and outs of that today. Hans, coming up next here on the Annie Fry Show.
We're going to get this done. Look, I'm humbled and honored to have President Trump's endorsement for the role again, as well as the endorsement of leaders across the conservative spectrum and the Republican Party, all of my colleagues that are standing with us, and we will get this done. Look, the things that we're talking about this morning are an illustration that we live in very serious times. We cannot afford any palace drama here. We have got to get the Congress started, which begins tomorrow, and we have to get immediately to work. We have to certify the election of President Donald J. Trump on January 6th, on Monday. And we have many important things pressing on us right now. So there's no time to waste. We have to stay unified. The American people gave us a mandate. You know, President Trump got 77 million votes. We got almost 75 million for House Republicans, the largest number ever. And they have sent us a message that they want us to begin fixing all of this.
Perfect.
In our form of our perfect union.
Heritage legal expert Hans von Spakovsky.
Hans, this is Ryan Wiggins filling in for Annie Fry. Thanks for being here on the second day of the year.
Well, Ryan, thanks for having me. And boy, it looks like we're going to have a very exciting start to the new year between the speaker's election on Friday and Monday, the certification of the new president.
Okay, I got to start with the big, everybody's asking question. Could this delay the certification of the Donald Trump's presidency being certified on Monday?
Potentially, yes. I mean, I don't think we've ever had this happen before. I know there's a lot of questions about certain members of the House who have said they potentially won't vote for Speaker Johnson. I actually think he's going to get elected on Friday. I actually would be shocked if he's not, because I think the few members who have voiced questions about it know that the wrath of the conservative world, I think, would descend on them if they somehow cause a delay in the certification on Monday.
So, Hans, walk us through the nuts and bolts of this thing. This is, I'm assuming, something that happens every 2 years?
It does happen every 2 years at the start of the newest congressional session. And the new congressional session is scheduled to start tomorrow, January 3rd. And at that session, they have to, all the members of the House have to elect who their new speaker is going to be, because it's the speaker that basically runs the House. And so keep in mind that the whole reason we have this issue come up is because, listen, Republicans will be starting this session with one of the narrowest margins in modern history, with just a couple of votes more than the Democrats. I think it's five, although they've had several individuals. They're going to have special elections, as you know, like for Matt Gaetz down in Florida. And so with that narrow margin, it gives a small handful of individuals the ability to throw a monkey wrench into the proceedings if they want to.
So, Hans, with that in mind, what would it take for Speaker Johnson to not be elected speaker? Or could this go a few rounds and then they make some concessions and then, you know, either way, we end up with somebody by the end of the day tomorrow?
I think that is possible. Remember, the last time this happened, part of what was going on was that some of the objectors wanted to get key positions on certain committees like the Rules Committee, not because they were personally ambitious, but because they hoped, for example, the Rules Committee really lays out the agenda for the House, you know, which bills are going to be considered. And the conservatives who were working on that were hoping that would allow them to push more conservative bills to be considered by the House. So, yeah, you know, there may be negotiating going on behind the scenes to ensure a quick vote on Friday. But even if not, I actually think by the end of the day, we'll have a speaker.
Hans von Spakovsky is on the phone with a senior legal fellow at the Heritage Foundation. President Trump has been very much in support of Mike Johnson as Speaker of the House. And constitutionally speaking, that makes sense because, and you can confirm or deny this, but it seems to me that if you're the president and you have both chambers of Congress, which they do in the Senate and the House, getting the House on board is kind of a big deal for your agenda. But like you said, it's such a narrow majority that is this where Trump's agenda could get stalled a little bit is in the House?
Oh, yeah, because it will only take a small handful of Republicans defecting and voting with the Democrats to stop key provisions. So the Republicans are going to control the Senate, they're going to control the House, but the margin will be so narrow in the House that it may make things difficult for President Trump. That's a situation where he really is going to have to use the mandate that he received, right? Over 77 million voters, really an overwhelming victory. He has to use that as his point of pressure to try to get the House to do the kind of things he wants, one of the most important of which, as you know, is to extend the Trump tax cuts, which are about to end from his first, that he got passed in his first term.
Hans, when they passed the budget, now this is weird stuff because it feels like these are big news items, but they're happening over the Christmas holiday, so they're not getting as much scrutiny or as attention as they normally would. But when they passed that budget, they just kicked the can down to March, correct?
Yeah, the continuing resolution. That they simply said, we are going to continue the current funding of the government through the end of March and not pass an actual budget.
So that was just giving them, in theory, time to set things up like extending the Trump tax cuts and hopefully doing a lot of other cuts, right?
That is exactly right, yes.
Let's switch gears real quick, Hans. Let's talk about the border. Here's a clip from Tom Homan.
I got no confidence the administration is going to be honest with us and read us, and they've been lying about this from day one, lying every day from the White House podium about the border being secured. I am grateful President Trump got reelected. President Trump's going to come into office, and we're going to secure that border. We're going to run a deportation operation. We concentrate, prioritize public safety threats and national security threats. I think this country is about to get a lot safer under President Trump.
You know, Hans, polling-wise, this was one of the main issues that has propelled Trump back into the presidency. Just based on what you're hearing from Tom Homan, what is Trump going to be able to do, and I guess by extension, Tom Homan, starting day one?
Well, folks need to remember that for the 4 years of the first Trump administration, he put in a whole series of things, everything from building a wall, building secure facilities at border crossings to prevent people from coming over, to doing things like putting in the Remain in Mexico policy. That was a policy that said that if you showed up at a port of entry and claimed asylum, you had to stay in Mexico while your asylum claim was being investigated rather than being released into the country. And the reason for that was that 90% of asylum claims are fraudulent. The end result of that was, if you look at the 4 years of Trump, the number of illegals crossing the border went steadily down. The Biden administration canceled all of that. And in the first year of the Biden administration, more aliens crossed the border than in the entire 4 years of the first Trump administration. So if he simply repeats what he did during his first 4 years, we will see a major reduction in the number of aliens illegally crossing the border.
Hans von Spakovsky is on the phone with a senior legal fellow at Heritage. You know, the big argument from Biden and Harris during the campaign season, not for the first 3.5 years, but during the campaign, was that they would do something. They would love to secure the border, but Republicans and Congress, and really just Congress in general, didn't pass a bill, and so they couldn't really do anything. Does Congress need to pass a bill, spending or otherwise, for Trump to begin to fix this problem?
No. The simple answer is no. That was a lie by Joe Biden, and I'll give you a very specific example of that. He said that if that bill got passed, he would close down the border immediately with an executive order, but he couldn't do it unless that bill was passed. That was a totally false statement. The president currently has the power under federal law to shut down the border and prevent entry of any and all aliens from one country or a group of countries. So that was just a lie by the Biden administration. They very deliberately got rid of the policies that Trump had put in place in the first administration because they wanted as many illegal immigrants to come across the border as possible, because that's part of their DNA. They think that's the way we should be doing things.
Hey, Hans, this is Brad. I had a quick question. The border question got me thinking about this. HB2, sure. In the last session, is one of the first things that the Republican-led House passed, kind of went into the Senate and died. Could they revive that bill and run that through the Senate? Would that make it through the Senate this time around?
It would make it through the Senate unless Democrats try to filibuster it. I think they could. They can resubmit the bill. They could pass it in the House. They could send it over the Senate. Whether they could overcome a filibuster, I don't know the answer to that. And that means that we would get a first good test of Senator Thune as to whether he could keep his caucus together, since Republicans now have a majority? Can he keep them together to get it passed? And I don't know the answer to that. But look, that bill is needed. It would be a big help. But just reversing the current policies of the Biden administration without even any further legislation would do a lot to help solve the illegal alien population problem.
Okay, Hans, we got a couple minutes here, and Annie does this to you all the time, and now Brad's got me doing it to you. So, hypothetically, when she starts a sentence that way, I'm like, oh, okay, now I'm listening, hypothetically. But he just brought up an issue that I'm like, wow, I wonder if that's ever been done before, and you'd be the guy to know. If you have a Congress that under one president, like under President Biden, if you had what we have now, House led by Republicans, Senate led by Democrats. Let's say that Trump was coming into office and that was going to flip, where the Senate would now be led by Republicans instead, but the House would be led by Democrats. That's not the case, but let's say it was. Could the House, at the end of its term, pass a bill, send it to the Senate, and the Senate hold on and vote for it after Republicans took it over?
No, because at the end of 2 years, when the congressional session ends, all bills that haven't passed die.
Okay. See, now we know, because Brad brought that up. And I'm like, oh, I wonder if that's ever been done before. The answer is no, that's never been done before, because you can't. Hans, thank you for settling these crazy questions that we have every week here on the Annie Fry Show.
I'm always happy to do it.
Appreciate your time and happy new year. Hans von Spakovsky, senior legal fellow at the Heritage Foundation. It's funny because a lot of these issues we've never thought of until now. You know, I'm not that one is like the top of people's minds, but there's so many constitutional questions that we've had in the last 5-6 years, probably beyond that, 8 years. And because the limits of the way everything has been set up are being tested.
What's really super exciting to me, at least, is the limits are being tested, but what we're seeing is the Constitution works.
Yeah.
You know, like I was telling you about this. I was listening to a podcast and they were kind of doing a best of, and this particular person was talking to another person who was like very hung up on the January 6th thing. Trump tried to overthrow an election. He didn't concede. But like, if you look at what happened over the last 4 years, Joe Biden was the president. Donald Trump left the White House. The constitutional process held up. Democracy wasn't threatened. It wasn't.
Right.
Because it worked the way it should work. We looked at things like OSHA, and does OSHA have the right to impose?
That's right where I was going.
Vaccine mandates.
You've got it. And part of that, a big part of this has been the Supreme Court.
Mm-hmm.
Because if the Supreme Court had swung left, a lot of these constitutional protections, they wouldn't have immediately died. They would have been whittled away.
Mm-hmm.
And we saw, you know, we saw these tests happen. But for the most part, right has won. The hard part is that it takes time.
Yeah.
So in the midst of an unconstitutional thing happening, like in Illinois, where they tried to pass stuff that's against the Second Amendment.
Yeah.
That's not the Second Amendment as you know it. That is the Second Amendment to the Bill of Rights, the U.S. Constitution.
Yes.
That's not just like right-wing talking points. This is the Constitution.
Right.
And they're trying to pass laws, and they have, that are unconstitutional. Well, they know that they are. But then they know that, oh, the process takes a while. So the system does work. It's just that there's a lag.
Yes. Well, I mean, you even, like, for the leftists out there that want abortion, whenever the Supreme Court overturned Roe v. Wade, what didn't happen was a nationwide ban on abortion. What did happen is we went back to the constitutional process of this is a state's issue that is solved at a state's level. And what we're seeing is that the people are making their voices heard on this topic and they're voting the way that they're voting. I may disagree with you on the way that you're voting on this topic, but you are voting on this, not nine people in robes on the Supreme Court.
Which is why it was never a law. It was a made up,
out of thin air
verdict that stood for what, almost 40 years, something like that. I don't remember the actual number that it was once Roe was overturned, but that's why it just went away. And that's why Democrats thrashed and wailed after the fact that they go, oh my gosh, how many times in the last 40 years have we had a majority that we could have passed an actual law?
You know what, though?
And they didn't.
I don't think that that was an accident.
I don't either.
You can't run on it if you pass a law and fix it.
Yeah, exactly. Well, this is the Annie Fry Show, and hey, welcome back to work. If you are out and about today listening to us, we're back too. We've been gone for about a week, kind of hit and miss, some best subs, but we are live today here on the second day of January, getting back into the swing of things. It is 12:43, and we got Wiggins America coming up next. See how that's going to work, because Ethan's leading it, so stick around. Away with everything that shows. Annie Fry Show, Manny Fry Show, whatever you want to call it. It's just the dudes today. We are sans Annie on the Annie Fry Show. Brad, Ryan, and producer Ethan in the studio. Ethan, you know, I don't praise you very often because I don't really care for you very much.
It's the nicest thing you may have ever said to me.
Well, I had to set this up because you know that if I'm going to give you a compliment, I genuinely mean it.
Well, yes, and it tends to be a... Well, what's the an insult sandwich?
Yes,
right?
So it's like the, there's the anti Oreo
insult on the front end, insult on the back end. But I would say probably 40% of the time those insults are jokes, and the compliment is legit.
Mm-hmm. And this is like a double stuff Oreo because there's lots of compliment.
Oh wow!
While Brad and I were off gallivanting for the holidays,
yes.
Which I don't know that we've ever referred to it as that, but we are now.
And we were doing this separately, not together.
Yeah, we weren't gallivanting together.
No, no, no.
We were gallivanting separately.
You weren't gallivanting in Disney World.
No.
No. No, we would never. Well, except for that once, but aside from that. But no, the compliment is the whole time we were off, Ethan's been here pretty much the entire time. And not just holding down the ship for the Annie Fry Show, but also the Mark Reardon Show. The day that I came in, Brad, and did it was we were live, but we were doing kind of like a clip show of the best. So we'd talk a little bit and then we'd throw to it. And it wasn't entirely like the funniest of the year, but it was mostly the funniest stuff of the year that I chose because it was just fun. That whole day, not only was Ethan running the board, and I'm like, Ethan, what do you think about this? He's doing the Mark Reardon Show, preparing it while we're talking, and then basically hosting it by himself a few days. I listened while I was off a couple times, and I was like, you and Sue are just hosting the show. You're not even doing a best. You guys are just doing a show.
Well, there were definitely, you know, you try to get as close to the time as possible to be able to have the best ofs be everything.
Right.
But I was basically doing what you did, where you talk on the front and back end, and sometimes you like, okay, we don't have a time to play a full segment here, so we're going to just have to fill for a few minutes. And we mixed in a couple of live interviews. Mark gave me kind of the reins to have some sports people join, so that was kind of
fun.
But yes, the best way that I could say it for those couple of days, like the scene in Braveheart where Mel Gibson's just screaming like, hold,
don't even compare yourself.
Hold. That was how I was like, just hold, get to the weekend. Just hold. That's how I felt I was.
Yeah. I love when people start with like, you know what it felt like for me? I felt like Mel Gibson in Braveheart. That's what it was like being me for the last few days.
Well, I felt like Spider-Man in front of the train, just holding.
But my praise isn't just, man, what a hard-working guy. It's that you got it done, and I was listening, honestly, it was good.
It was good.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah,
appreciate
it was good. It was really fun to listen to Mark Reardon's show. Now, I was, you know, Annie Fry Show, I participated in doing a lot of those best stuffs, but he listened to you
do
that.
If you thought that was good, then you just get ready for this week. It's America.
All right, well, let's get to it. Brad
Wiggins! Oh! Wiggins!
Can I just say before I start is I was walking in here and I was just scrolling on the socials real quick and I found a video of a New Year's Eve ball drop that goes down in Idaho and it was just a giant potato that they just dropped from a crane.
Wait. How big was the potato?
I mean, it looked pretty decent size.
They just dropped the potato?
I mean, like, compare it to a human head.
Oh, I mean, like, probably like 12 to 15 times the size. I mean, like
bigger than a human head?
Yeah. I'm not saying it was a real potato, But like, oh. I mean, no. But like, it was made to look like a potato. But you just, in front of the Capitol, they just have this giant crane and they just drop it at midnight. And that's their
ball drop.
Oh,
it doesn't go down slowly?
It didn't look like it went down slowly.
Like pushing it off the top of a building.
Happy New
Year! Here comes big potato. It's not
so
real.
If anyone is looking for a new spot to go for, you know, New Year's, I recommend Idaho.
Okay, what part of Idaho?
The capital? I don't know.
Boise.
What's the capital?
Oh, it's in Boise. Okay.
Is that the capital? Boise? Yeah. Okay. Should we get going with this? Okay. When to take a mental health day is today's...
This is important. This is important because we've all, you know, we're all getting back into work. And we've been working for almost an hour.
Yeah, so we got to start looking at this.
Yeah.
Well, then this is perfect timing. So this article is written, it's on prevention.com. It's written by Madeline Hasse. And it starts off, I think it's important to read this first paragraph to you guys. You know, we all deal with varying levels of stress in our day-to-day, but feelings of burnout should not be ignored. So if you notice that you're feeling overwhelmed, inundated, or like you are just trying to stay afloat, and you're feeling like your stress levels are at an 11, it might be wise to devote some time to reset by taking a mental health day from your daily responsibilities and never-ending to-do list.
You know, now that you were wondering when the other side of the Oreo was coming,
mm-hmm, right here.
I wasn't just praising you because I thought, oh, I want to give him, you know, some kudos and lift him up a little bit. I just want you to know that if I start to feel burned out, like say at 1:12, mm-hmm, you did a good enough job that it's on you now.
Oh,
you're
gonna
take over.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
You're giving me permission right now during Wiggins America talking about all this burnout.
I don't think that's what I'm doing.
You wouldn't be alone, Ethan. I got you.
You want to talk about how I would feel honestly a little bit complimented that this segment impacted you enough to where you're just gone.
How do we? So I'm assuming you are going to tell us how to avoid burnout or something along those lines.
More so just how to go about this process of taking mental health days.
Okay.
Because, you know, there's vacation days, there's sick days, but there isn't any days for the mentally sick.
Does
days.
It tell you how to approach your boss and say, I am not going on vacation. I feel fine physically, but I'm just going to take a couple days.
Well, it kind of does. There is a part of this article that is titled How to Ask for a Mental Health Day Off Work. But by the time I was done reading it, I didn't feel any better about walking up to Steve Moore and saying, Steve, I just need a day to just reflect and to just take a breather.
Whether it be Steve, our boss, or
Trisha,
your own boss that you're when you're listening, would you recommend, regardless of who it is, walking up to them and just reading this? Like, do you
no,
think that would help?
No, because it's not quite in quotation. There are a couple of quotation things in here. But actually, it says to go to HR first. It says to go to HR first. Yeah, we could just skip to that part, Ryan.
This seems like a big process.
If you have an available, it says personal or sick day, Dr. Sharma, one of the doctors involved in this article, recommends taking advantage of the benefits that are available to you. After all, they're there for a reason. If you don't have these benefits available to you, speak to your boss about it or to your HR department. And remember, your mental health is a perfectly good reason to take a day off, and that is okay.
Isn't that, like, required by law in Illinois?
I tell you what, it's required by Odyssey. Odyssey does lots of mental health stuff,
yeah,
and we run, like, a mental health special. I can't remember the name of it. Is it I'm Listening?
I'm Listening,
every
yeah
year. And so if you work at Odyssey, I can almost guarantee you that if you request off for mental health, your boss may be like, I don't want to let you off, but I am going to have to.
Says you don't need to provide detailed explanations about your mental health, but you can be clear and direct about your need for time off.
So if your boss goes, what's wrong with you? You don't have to say?
Basically, this says that their usual recommendation for what to say is something like this. I'm feeling overwhelmed and need a day to focus on my well-being. I'd like to take a personal day to recharge.
Trisha is coming in.
I thought that
for
was Saturday
Annie,
and
are you
Sunday.
Okay? No, that could be any day. Trisha's coming in for Annie, are you okay during the 2 o'clock hour? Ethan, I want you to make that request to her. live.
Okay.
And make it for, you know, tomorrow. Okay. Something really fast that people are going to be scrambling to fill your shift for.
Well, you know, I'm not feeling amazing today, so there's an actual,
you know, really
semi possibility that
we're on the radio right now and she's probably listening. So she's going to know ahead of time that it's all just a ruse. Hey, hello there. We're the Andy Fry Show today. This is the Manny Fry Show. Thanks for tuning in. That was Wiggins America. It went really well, I must say. Great job.
That insult sandwich.
Will
it's going to taste great on the other side.
We'll be right back with Jeff Manasso from Fox News Radio.